running.
On Tehillim chapter Yud Beis, Shir given on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Toshin Samaches, Sunday 11th of November 2007. We'll go through the whole pack first, and then we'll look into it in detail. Namatzech Lashminis Mizmah LeDavid, a song for the 8th Mizmah LeDavid, a song for David. V'shir Hashem ki gomar chosid, save HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there are no more pious people. Because the faithful people have been finished from mankind. In other words, there's no one trustworthy, no one worthy, no pious people anymore. People speak badly or speak rubbish of each other. Sefas halakus, smooth talking lips. Believe, believe, baby. They speak with heart and with heart. In other words, they speak. What they say is not really what's on their mind. Yachris Hashem kol siste chalokis. Hashem should cut off all smooth talking lips. Loshem mitabes gedolus, the tongue that speaks of great things or big things. It really means bad things. Asher Omru, that these people, these wicked people, say Milshonenu about their tongue, that with our tongues, Magbir, we will be strong. Sefosenu etonu, our mouths or our lips are with us. In other words, we can say what we like, we can do what we like. Mi Odon Lonu, who is a master over us? No one is a master over us, and therefore we can get away with whatever we want. Mishod Aniim, due to the
oppression.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
English.
The oppression of the poor people. May enkasavinu from the screams of poor people. Ata okum yom Hashem. Hashem now says, I will get up. And I'm going to help the oppressed poor. Oshis beyesha yofiachlo. He says, I will place salvation for him. I will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to help out the poor people. Imaris Hashem, Amoris Teres, the sayings of God are pure sayings. Kesef Tzoruf, distilled silver, or not distilled is the wrong word.
Refined,
thank you. Refined silver, Ba'alil La'oretz, clearly refined La'oretz on the earth. Mezukok Shivasoyim, refined or purified, Shivasoyim, seven times. Ata Hashem, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tishmarim, you shall guard them. Titzrenu min HaDorzu Le'olam, protect them or guard them from this generation forever. Soviv Rishon Yisalochun, Rishoyim walking all around. Kurum Zulus Livnei Odom, when the despised people are elevated or exalted before mankind. There. Always found it took him impossible to understand initially, till he gets to see the Mefarshim. Okay, so what is this in general terms? This chapter Tehillim discusses the oppressed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech says there are poor people who are oppressed. There are no good people left in the world. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should cut off the lips of those people who speak badly, and Hashem should please protect the poor people, the poor oppressed people. Hashem should protect them. And yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Oh. I didn't bring this back here. Just in touch with your base. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So as an introduction to the chapter, takes quite a bit of an introduction. What is it about? So it's about the Giborim of a generation, the Rishoyim of a generation, who oppress the poor people, and particularly those who have oppressed and been rodeis, they've chased dogged. Who are these people? Well, a number of different mafreshim. It could refer to Shaul, it could refer to Shaul's henchmen, it could refer to, in the future times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, with the first and second Beis HaMikdash.
You say Shaul, and Shaul doing bad.
Yeah, chasing David. After David's life, he was trying to kill David. Shaul had an in for David. Although we've learned earlier, it was all based on a gross misunderstanding between them as to who should be the Melech, and the Shaul couldn't quite accept David as the Melech. Let's get some understanding of who this Shminis. What is Shminis all about? La Masech La Shminis, Mizra Hadavid, a song Hadavid and Hashminis on the 8th. What's the idea of this 8th? What's the idea behind the Shminis? This idea of the Shminis. So, the Radak explains it's a reference to Asalion. And Asalion, a bit of a complex thing here to get to the Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. Asalion was a queen. Unusually, for Klal Yisrael, they had a queen at one time. She was the daughter of Achav. Achav, of course, was Melech Yisrael, one of the greatest Rishonim we've ever known. And his daughter Asalion married the son of Melech Yehoshaphat. So Yehoshaphat was one of the kings of Yehuda. Achav was the king of Yisrael, and Yehoshaphat seems to have made. Although Yehoshaphat was generally considered to be a great tzaddik, he made a bad shidduch for his son Yehoram and married him off to this lady Asalion. And things did not go too well. They had a son called Ahaziah, and Ahaziah joined his uncle. So Ahaziah was a melech in Yehuda, and he joined his uncle, who was the melech of Yisrael, his uncle Yehoram, in a battle against Aram, and Ahaziah came to a bitter end shortly after that battle with Aram. He was actually killed by Yehu, who killed him together with all the other prophets of Baal. At any rate, Asalion learned from her own father Achav and to bring in the Avodah Zarah of Baal into Klal Yisrael. After her son Ahaziah died, Asalion decided she's going to take over the Malchus of Yehuda. And she did for 6 terrible years. And she was a great Baal worshipper. And she was determined to wipe out all competition in Malchus Yehuda and killed off many people from the royal family. There was one survivor, and that was her grandson, Yoash, who was hidden by his aunt, Yehosheva. That is, Asalion had two children, Ahaziah, who was the king and died in her lifetime, and a daughter called Yehosheva. Yehosheva was a great tzaddikess, and she was married to a Kohen, I think he might even be Kohen Gadol, called Yehoyada. Well, Yehoyada and Yehosheva hid Yoash, who was their nephew. He was only a year old, and they hid him for 6 years, I think. 6 years, and yes, for 6 years, and then they anointed him at the age of 7 years old. It was an unusual to anoint a king when the father had died, I think, not sure about that, but they anointed him to make a point that he is going to be the king and not Asalion. And eventually the people rebelled against Asalion and she was wiped out. Now, why am I bringing all this? Because if we count from Shlomo, the son of David, 8 generations. We have Shlomo, Rehavam, Aviah, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, Ahaziah. That's right. Ahaziah, and then Asalion. And Asalion is number 8 in that, counting from Shlomo, David's son, Asalion is number 8. So the Radak learns this Lam Nasech al Hashminis is this 8th generation from David. Actually starting with Shlomo. And it was a terrible time for Klal Yisrael, and it was a time where they needed an immense amount of help. So David HaMelech davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that during this terrible time of Asalion that Klal Yisrael should be saved. Hoshia Hashem ki gom achosid, as in Pasuk Beis, that Hashem should save us because there are no more good people around in the on earth. That was at the time of Asalion. That's how the Radak learns. The Gemara learns that
Yeah. So it's not just for a duck. I'm not sure it is for a duck.
Well, on the shemines also.
Pardon?
You have to see what it says here on the shemines.
Yeah, there's a lot more. So there's not much on the shemines. We'll do it when we get to Paul. Just as a Hakdama. So Rashi in Divrei Yomim base, chapter Kaf base, Pasuk Yud, who he learns it's talking about Tassalia at this terrible time. Hashem Hashem ki gomar chosid. There were no more good people around. And indeed, in this generation of Tassalia, its generation coming from Shlomo HaMelech. Also referring to the end of all time when we come to the times of Mashiach, where the Mashiach will come, we're told by at least one Chazal, Mashiach will come at a time when everybody's gone really bad and the whole world is in a terrible state, and Mashiach will come to rescue us. And that's again Hashem ki gomar chosid, there'll be no more good people around. It's a terrible time, and then along comes the Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On another issue, this chapter Tehillim, according to the Minhag of the Vilna Gaon, is the chapter Tehillim that we recite on Shmini Atzeres. And that is related to the fact that Shmini Atzeres is a representation of Yisrael coming, shining forth out of all the nations of the world. That is, that the whole Chag HaSukkos we offer up the 70 Korbanos, the 70 bulls representing the 70 nations of the world, and we're actually bringing them up for the welfare of these 70 nations of the world. We don't have control, we should look after these 70 nations of the world. When it comes to Shmini Atzeres, we bring them up, we bring up through the Pari HaChog, the 70 bulls of Chag HaSukkos, starting with 13 on day 1 and 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. And
that's
one only on Shmini Atzeres, which represents Klal Yisrael. And that's to show that Klal Yisrael, at the end of all time, Klal Yisrael will be the one nation that will rise above all the other 70. So, and the Vilna Gaon says that we recite this chapter, Lamsech al Hashminis, Shminis being Shmini Atzeres, and that's the Shir Shel Yom for Shmini Atzeres. In fact, the source of it is from Masechet Sofrim, Perek Yotes Halacha Beis. That it's where we go through the various songs of the day, Shir Shel Yom of the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Minhag of the Vilna Gaon to say it. We actually don't. It's the Minhag of the Vilna Gaon to say it on Shmini Atzeres. It's Shmini Atzeres falls on a Shabbos.
Yeah.
Which I think it did this year, didn't it? No, it didn't. Yes, I mean, I can't remember. So Shmini Atzeres falls on a Shabbos, then the Minhag is the same as Rashi Liyam HaShabbos instead. But otherwise, it's the Shir Shel Yom for Shmini Atzeres. And again, representing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua will come, Hoshia Hashem, and will save us at the time when the world is all bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael. It's also related to the Shminis itself. Rashi explains, what is the Shminis? It's a harp of 8 strings. We had this Shminis once before. It comes twice only in the whole of Tehillim. It comes here, chapter your base, and it came earlier at the beginning of chapter Vav. And these are the only two occasions where the Shminis is mentioned. And the Mefarshim explain, in fact, it comes straight out of the Gemara. The Gemara is in Arachim, after the Gimel Amud Beis, where the Shminis is a harp of 8 strings. That is normally...
It's a lyre, isn't it?
A lyre.
Not a lyre.
Yeah, L-Y-R-E.
Wasn't it a
lyre? I don't know enough about lyres. It's 8 strings.
Deeper tone,
yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I haven't seen. But it's an 8 string harp, and it's the 8, and it's a representation. The Gemara says in the Nimrabi Huddah in Arachim Yud Gimel Amud Beis that this harp is representing, it is the harp that will be used at the time of Mashiach. So it's all related to Inyonim of Geula, Mashiach, Shminis, Shmini Atzeres, the Klal Yisrael shining forth, and it's Hashiach, Hashem Ki Gamachos at the time of bad times in the world, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael through Mashiach.
Well, 8 is a number on its own,
That's it. The Maharal brings this apparently many times, not that I've learned anything really of the Maharal. Yeah. The Maharal brings that the number 7 represents Teva, represents nature, and number 8 represents supernature, supernatural things. Yeah. And Mashiach is, of course, super overriding the world of nature. So we know the world of nature is built around 7 days of the week.
Yeah,
7th day of the week. Shabbos closing the week, and that's the nature runs on the number 7, while Shmini, the number 8, represents something which is supernatural.
But the Bris Mila is on the 8th.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Exactly right. So we're coming to that. The connection with Bris Mila is a large connection here. Just interesting to note that Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Dalet Amud Beis, Tosfos points out that throughout the whole Chag of Sukkos, the Shir Shel Yom is not a whole chapter. We say parts of chapters, throughout Chagah Sukkot, and when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, and this is the chapter of the Shir Shalim for Shmini Atzeres, it's the only occasion in the Chagah Sukkot where the Levim and the Beis Hamikdash would say one entire chapter. Throughout the rest of Sukkot, they only said half chapters or partial chapters. Here they say the whole one. Interestingly enough, the if we're so particular on Shmini Atzeres to say this chapter, why is it we say this chapter on Shmini Atzeres? There's a kasha I saw in the Tehillim brought out by the Masada Rav Kook, where they say, why say this chapter? Why not say chapter Vav, which also begins with the mention of the Shminis? Why is the Minhag not to do that one? In fact, there seems to be a bit of discussion whether it's this chapter or the chapter Vav. Most of the Rishonim seem to hold it's this chapter your base. Why not that one? Well, that one is the chapter which we say at Tachanun. And if it's Tachanunim, it's not really suitable for a Yom Tov. And of course, it represents as well illness, because that chapter speaks all about illness, and how Kosh Baruch Hu should heal us from illness, and so on. And again, that's not really suitable to be said on the answer from Shmini Atzeres, and therefore this chapter is the one that we say for Shmini Atzeres. Another aspect of it is that there's a large connection with Bris Milah. The Gemara connects this. We'll see how the Gemara connects this chapter with Bris Milah, which of course Bris Milah is the mitzvah for the Yom HaShmini, or by Yom HaShmini Yom HaBusar Aloso. And this chapter contains the pasuk. It's pasuk number. Where is it gone? Pasuk Zayin. Imarus Hashem amarus tahirus. The sayings of God are pure sayings. And in Masad Rav Kook, he explains there that we have connected to Bris Milah. We have Kishamru Imrasecho uvrisecho yintzeru. Kishamru Imrasecho uvrisecho yintzeru in Zotah Bracha, which is a reference to Bris Milah connected to. Which is the pasuk, I rejoice over your amira. The mitzvah Bris Milah was given with an amira by Yomer Hashem el Avraham. So the mitzvah Bris Milah is given with an amira. David HaMelech rejoiced over his Bris Milah, over the mitzvah that was given an amira, like a person who finds a great treasure. It doesn't work for it, he just finds a great treasure. We have a Bris Milah. The mitzvah Bris Milah is organized by the father on the child, but the child has this mitzvah that he has had a Bris Milah. And he lives with that mitzvah even though he never worked for it. And that's committed to Shalol Rav. It's like a treasure which you just find by accident. You didn't work for the treasure, you just find it.
I've had the Bris Milah, so I rejoice.
Yeah. Well, we rejoice over the fact that we've had the Bris Milah. We've got a free mitzvah.
Yeah, right? My father did it for me.
Exactly. And I get the mitzvah. I live with that mitzvah on my guf my whole life. Yeah. And my father organized the Bris for me. And I get the credit, so to speak, because I've had the Bris. Yeah. So that's the commitment to Ross. It's like a freebie mitzvah. So that is based on Pasuk Sosanuchi al Imrosecho, and also the mitzvah Levi, who kept Bris Milah in the Midbar when no other tribes did. Kishamru Imrosecho. They kept the Bris Milah. And here we have our Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin, Imaros Hashem Amaros Toros, another connection to Bris Milah. So there's another connection with Bris Milah. Good, okay. Yeah. What have I missed out? Probably nothing. Good, okay, let's move on. So let's make a start on the actual Pasuk. On the actual Pasuk. Lam Natseach Al Hashminis Mizvah the David, a song. Al Hashminis for the 8th, Mizmah the Dovid, the song for Dovid. Now we've already mentioned earlier on Perek Dalet, where we first had mentioned this word Lam Natseach. I'll go through it again just for the sake of completeness. But the word Lam Natseach, different meanings of the word Lam Natseach, you remember them? Yeah? Lam Natseach, Rashi brings it's an expression of being mischazik, strengthening yourself in the Avodah, and it's a reference to the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash, who have to strengthen themselves in the Avodah HaMikdash, and of course the Tehillim were given over to the Levim to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mesudas Tzion, very strange really, learns that it's an expression of supremacy. To be Menatzeach is to be successful, or to conquer someone in battle, to be Menatzeach in war. And he learns it's to do with the choir, and you'll be amazed that it's Norman. Yeah? The Levim in the Beis HaMikdash where he says it's natural that within one choir, the different voices are competing with each other for vocal supremacy. Yeah? That's quite an indictment, I think, against
not
the choir.
That's
not a choir, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And Ibn Ezra learns that it's an expression of netzach, meaning eternity. For eternity, that these tehillim are given over for eternity. Ibn Ezra brings another pshat, that the menatzach is the conductor of the Beis Hamikdash choir. So these are different understandings of the word lamenatzach. Lamenatzach al hashminis, however you want to say, Anselm Masech, for the conductor, al hashminis, on the 8th, Mizmah to David, a song for David. So, we've already mentioned the Shminis is the eighth stringed harp, which is this representation of the times of Mashiach, as the Gemara in the name of Rabbi Huda brings in Arachim Yud Gimel on the bass. Now, I'll just say as a quick aside that some months ago, or I can't remember how long ago it was now, maybe a year ago or more, when we learned Perek Vav. The day after we learned Perek Vav, where we had this mention of the word Shminis, my son Yaakov Chaim showed me in a sefer the Pnei Yehoshua al HaTorah. Of course, the Pnei Yehoshua is a Pirush on Shas, but there's another sefer which is his Pirush on Chumash. And at the very back of it, really, literally, the last thing in that sefer is a vort on this word Shminis, and it really is nogea to chapter Vav. I have to say it here. I've saved it for chapter your base. And the Pnei Yehoshua brings a very beautiful idea. He quotes a Maimon Chazal, which I have not really tracked down properly, which is Tefila Osa Mechza. When a person davens, that's his lashon in the Pnei Yehoshua, and it might be a direct quote. Tefila Osa Mechza. When a person davens, Amida, and he says Selach Lanu, that halves his averus. His averus for the day are halved, or his averus so far are halved. So he says at the end of the day, the first tefillah of the day is Ma'ariv, second is Shacharis, third is Mincha. So after Ma'ariv, a person's averus are halved. By the time after he finishes Shacharis, they're quartered. And by the time he finishes Mincha, the third and final tefillah of the day, he then got an eighth of his averus left. And he says that relates to chapter 6, where David is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help and for a refuah, and so on. That's the whole chapter of Tachanun that we say chapter Vav. And he says, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, look, I've only got an eighth of my Averis left, al Hashminis, I've only got an eighth of them left. By the time I daven Mincha, I've only got an eighth of them left. And hence I daven to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should send me refuah and send me help and so on.
Maybe a Mincha.
By the time you get to Mincha, in other words, at the close of play, at the end of a day, you're left with an eighth of the Averis. Is that nice thoughts from the Pnei Yehoshua? And as I said, these are the only two chapters in Tehillim which start with Shminis. I can't vouch for that. I've never learnt through the whole of Tehillim yet. That's what I've seen in the Sfarim, that these are the only two chapters which start with Shminis. Now, the Gemara in Menachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, tells us the story, well known story of David HaMelech, when we come to what you were saying about Bris Milah. David HaMelech was in the bathhouse, and then in the bathhouse he was suddenly in the Beis HaMerechatz, he was suddenly struck by the fact that he's bereft of mitzvahs, Orem min ha-mitzvahs, he's naked from mitzvahs. Why? And the Gemara that explains, because the classic mitzvahs that accompany a person on every go, the mitzvahs which a person will always have, which are tefillin, remember they used to wear tefillin all day, tzitzis, and mezuzah, those mitzvahs, he doesn't have them. And he's in the bathhouse, so he can't even learn Torah there, and so on and so forth, and he felt Orem and Amitzvah, felt naked from mitzvahs. And then he suddenly realized, oh no, I still have my Bris Milah. My Bris Milah is on me all the time. And so right now, even while I'm in the Beis HaMerechatz, I still have the mitzvah Bris Milah with me. And therefore, says the Gemara, when he came out from that Beis HaMerechatz, that is when he composed this chapter. And it's on the Al-Hashminis, it's on the 8th. And that's his extolling the virtues of the Bris Milah. That's why it's on the Shminis. Other connections to Shminis through Bris Milah. Well, Bris Milah is on the Yom HaShemini or by Yom HaShemini Yom HaBesar Lasso. But as well as that, he says it is greater than the other seven mitzvahs. What are those other seven mitzvahs? Now, where did I see this? Goodness me, I can't remember. I think I saw this in the Marashah. I learned it through this morning with David. We were going to learn Yishai this morning. We did learn Yishai this morning, as we are learning Yishai at the moment. But beforehand, I asked him, can you just help me out on this? And he helped me out through this piece of Torah. Yeah, David Goldberg, yeah. And the Marashah learns that the other connections to Shminis, the Bris Milah, are these other seven mitzvahs that the Gemara is speaking about there. Tefillin, Tzitzis, and Mezuzah is three mitzvahs, really. But the Tefillin is two mitzvahs, Shel Yad and Shel Rosh. The Tzitzis are four corners, 2 + 4 = 6, and one Mezuzah takes it up to 7. And the Gemara there says, Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha Al Mishpatit Tikecha. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Yud Tes, Pasuk Kuf Samach Dalet, that Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, I praise you 7 times. And that's a reference to Tfilin, which is 2 mitzvahs, sits with 4 corners and 1 mezuzah, totaling 7. And here, the Bris Milah overrides or is greater than those previous 7. That's how the Marashah learns it. The Marashah also learns, what's the other connection, is that up until the time of Avraham, we had Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Along comes Avraham, and he's given an 8th mitzvah, the mitzvah Bris Milah, which no one else has been commanded to heretofore. Along comes Avraham, he's got this 8th mitzvah. So Bris Milah is the mitzvah Shminis, it's the 8th mitzvah commanded to mankind. 7 for Noach, plus the 8th one now for Avraham. The Ben Yehoyada asks Akasha on this Gemara. He says, why does David say that he was, or why does David worry that he was Orem min ha-mitzvos? He was naked from mitzvos in the plural. He could have said Orem min ha-mitzvah. He had no mitzvos at all. And he doubles that up with another kasha. He says, and why is he? He's not necessarily naked from mitzvos. He's got his payas. Yeah? Torah says you can't shave off your payas. No. He's standing in the bathhouse. He's still got his payas. I mean, eventually David says, well, I've still got my Bris Milah, and that's the mitzvah that accompanies me. But he could have said, I've still got my payas. Yeah, and that's also accompanies me. You like it?
That's a negative.
Oh! That's exactly what the Ben Yehoyada answers. Oh, in fact, I had the same answer. David read out this piece of Ben Yehoyada to me, and I said, oh, but that's the mitzvah Lo Sase. Lo Sakifu Pas Rosh Hashem. You can't shave off your payas. And indeed, so that's exactly how the Ben Yehoyada answers. And he said, David wanted one mitzvah sase, at least one mitzvah sase, and at least one mitzvah lo sase. And that's why it says it in the plural. It's orem min ha-mitzvos. He wanted two mitzvos. He wanted at least one ase and one lo sase. So he's got the lo sase. He's got the pes.
Yeah.
He was looking to have a mitzvah sase, and of course there was the Bris Milah. So that's also the requirement, having one ase and one lo sase.
It wasn't orem min ha-mitzvos.
No, indeed, he was worried about being Orem. He says, I'm in the bath, I've gone in the
bath. Oh, he's worried. And then he suddenly realised he's not Orem.
He's not Orem, he's got the Bris Milah.
Yeah.
So the Ben Yehoyada learns, he knew he had the pairs, but he wanted to have a mitzvah.
I say.
As well as a mitzvah.
And then he found it.
That's right, yeah. Another reason, the Ben Yehoyada also says another reason why he wasn't thinking about.
It wasn't his mitzvah, it was the father's mitzvah.
Yeah, it's true, but it's a mitzvah that accompanies us. In fact, that's just the whole point. It seems to be. Okay, the father organizes it, but it's a mitzvah which ultimately the child has to the child's credit, it seems.
Because the father hadn't done it, the boy would have to do it himself.
Yes, yeah, for sure. That's right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So, Moses
right.
Shol or Rob, done me a big favour.
Yeah, that's right. You did me a big favour because you did the mitzvah.
You know, I would have to do it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I just saw, literally, before I ran out of the house this morning, in a sefer that, again, my son Yaakov Haim pointed out to me. He's an amazing research man. He does so much work on it. A lot of this year, he looks up, puts bookmarks in his phone. Daddy, look at this.
I think you're right when you said to me, don't ask him a question.
Now, quoted in, there's a sefer called Ne'im Zemiris Yisrael, which belongs to the shul. David Siegel unearthed it. He found it lying around in a box here in the shul. Ne'im Zemiris Yisrael. It's a sefer on temp. It's many volumes, but I think he only really found one volume. And it's a liquid. He quotes many other sefer. And in there, he quotes from a sefer called Yosef Tehillus, who points out that take a look at the end of Pasuk Aleph and the beginning of Pasuk Beis, where it's got Mizmer LeDavid Hoshia Hashem. Rosh HaTevis, Mem Lamed, Hey Yud, which is an anagram of Milah.
Yeah?
Nice? So that's an anagram of Milah, yeah. That's in the Sefer called Yosef Tehillus.
And that's another connection to Bris Milah. Another idea on this idea of Shminis is also brought in that sefer, the Imes Meres Yisrael, in the name of the sefer called Tehillas Hashem, where he says that this chapter has 9 pesukim, of which the first is not really a proper tefillah, it's just an introduction. That's the introduction pasuk, and from pasuk base onwards is the actual prayer that David says. So the chapter really has 8 pesukim of tefillah. And that's the idea of Hashminis. 8 pesukim of tefillah in this chapter. Good. Okay, that's it for Pasuk Aleph. Do you want to go? Pasuk Beis. Hashia Hashem, save HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we are bereft of pious people. There are no pious people left. Kifasu emunim mibnei odom, because faithful people are finished from mankind. There are no more good people around. That's the gist of the pasuk. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save. So Rashi defines the words for us. Gomar, he says, means koled. There's none left. They're all finished off. None left. And Rashi explains this word fasu. Now, the word fasu is an amazing word. It is the only time in Tanakh this word appears. And I have to thank both Clive Fearstone and also Jeffrey Blumenfeld for reminding me of this wonderful Greek word, which I've written down, I hope I pronounced it correctly, hapax legomenon. Dr. Shapiro. It's Greek, and it means once said. It's the only appearance of this word in Tanakh. Yeah, hapax legomenon. Yeah, Jeffrey reminded me of this word. Hapax legomenon. It's a Greek expression referring to a word in Tanakh that's stated once and once only. And because it's said once, it's very hard to define. Because you've got nothing to compare it to. Yeah? Kifasu. So Rashi explains, I looked it up this morning in the dictionary, hapax legomenon. Now, Rashi explains the word fasu comes from the word efes, which means nothing. It can mean but, yeah. Efes can also mean... Efes zeloso. Nothing other than, really. And the word efes means nothing. In the Rit, the word efes means the number zero. Yeah? Efes. You hear people say the phone numbers, you know. Efes. Yeah, number zero. Yeah? Efes. Efes zeloso. So Rashi explains it comes from the word efes, and it means nothing. It vanished. It's all gone. So that's the idea of kifasu emunim with meodom, that faithful people are finished from mankind, and none left at all. Now, Rav Shimshon von Hirsch comments on this, and he says, yes, it's not an unknown phenomenon that this word efes can be shortened into fasu. And he, in other words, the aleph, from the aleph fei samach, the aleph disappears. Why? And he relates it to the word ochein, which means certainly, or indeed, which indeed is connected to the word kein. Ochein and kein. That's the only piece of Rav Shimshon von Hirsch on these psukim that I've understood. He's got a lot on the psukim, but it's all a bit above me.
Ochein
no da'adov. Where's that? Oh, that's the Yehuda and Tamar. Is it? Achim Noda
Hadavah.
Achim Noda Hadavah. Is it Yosef? Yes,
Yosef.
When?
I'm sure the matter has been brought
out. Yeah, I also remember the phrase Achim
Noda Hadavah.
With Moshe. Yes. Achim Noda Hadavah. That's right, because the people who spread Loshen around us.
Shkach, thank you.
Yeah, Achim Noda Hadavah. Yeah, beginning of Shemesh. So what's this idea I'll just carry on with the definition of this word fasu. The Ibn Ezra learns that fasu is an expression of pas yodo. He quotes this expression pas yodo, which means the hand is chopped off. In other words, the hand is finished from the rest of the body. And I seem to remember that in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, when discussing statues which were used for Avodah Zarah, or partial statues, and the Gemara speaks about a hand, and people, you know, just with the hand of the statue, I think that's referred to as pisas yod, a part of the hand, and I didn't check it up, I'm not sure. But at any rate, there's a Mishnah in Megillah, Pek Dalet, Mishnah Ches, which speaks if a person puts on his tefillin shel yad, if he puts his tefillin shel yod literally on his hand, nesono, well, and the tefillin shel rosh, which are bein einecha, if he puts them on between his eyes or on his forehead. So the Mishnah there says, Nafona al mitzcho, if he puts the tefillin shel rosh on his forehead, o al pas yado, or literally on his hand itself, not the arm as it should be, but on the hand, hari zuder chaminus, then that's heresy. Yeah, that's heresy to do that. Why? Because he's interpreted the pasuk like the minim do, the people who only believe in Tosha Biksav, that you know tefos beinecha and kishatam osal yadecha, literally on the hand. Yeah, literally. That's derech minus. So this is the pas yado. Pas means the hand, as seen separate from the rest of the body. So the Ibn Ezra learns, it comes from the Sherish, Pei Samach Samach. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns. And it's an expression of removal from the rest of the body. So removal, finished, that's it. He agrees with the translation, he just has a different source for it. Kifasu Emunim, the faithful people are finished. Now one other shot, beautiful shot, is the Targum. Well, how does the Targum translate this? Targum Yonason translates this as Arum sofu mehinaya mimbene nosha. Arum is because is the translation of key. Ki sofu mehinaya emunim are finished. He relates it to the word sof. Sofu.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw in two different tzvarim. So also both in the Masad Rav Kook version of Tehillim and also in the Pirush on Tehillim, which is incorporated into the Pirush of the one of the Rishonim. Anyway, the Sofu is the same letters as Fasu, just with interchange, Pei and Samach. And this is not a Jewish, there's not a Hebrew phenomenon, because we find it with Keves and Kesev, both meaning a lamb. Same word, Keves and Kesev, just with interchanged letters. We do find an interchanging of letters which with the same meaning. So that seems to be how the Targum learns that Fasu is an expression of Soph. End, finished, and Munim, faithful people, are finished.
So Soph, so,
at last.
Eventually.
The Targum connects this word Fasu with the word Sofu. Same letters, just interchanged positions. Yeah, similar to Keves and Kesev.
Ended.
That's it. Yeah. So that's all. So that's it for the definition of this word Sofu. Fasu, yeah. Yeah. So Rashi explains, what's the pasuk talking about? Rashi says that here's David lamenting one particular time in his life, and that was the time when he was hiding from Shaul, and many people on a number of occasions gave his whereabouts to Shaul. They told Shaul, they spilled the beans where he was hiding. We know that when he came, when Nov Hakonim, when they looked after him, so Doeg told Shaul where David had been, and that Nov had looked after him, and of course that resulted in the wiping out that whole city of Nov. There's one particular time that Rashi points out, and that is when he was hiding from, he went into the Midbar Zif, wilderness of Zif. Now the people of Zif, who are called Zifim in the pasuk, very strange, they actually belong to the tribe of Yehuda. And despite belonging to the tribe of Yehuda, which is of course the David HaMelech's own tribe, nevertheless they still gave away David's whereabouts to Shaul. And Shaul went herring after David back into this Midbar Zif to track him down and in the plan to kill him. And the only reason why he retreated, Shaul in the end retreated, because he was attacked by the Pelishtim. So he ran back in defense of the Pelishtim, and he gave up chasing David simply because to defend his own country from the Pelishtim. However, the Ziphim had given him away, and this is the situation that David is lamenting. That, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, another pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Nun Dalet, pasuk base, the Vo Hazifim, when the Ziphim came through, with Shaul, they told Shaul, "Hello, David, mistate imanu, is David is hiding among us." Now, the story of the Ziphim comes from Shmuel Aleph Pek Kaf Gimel, where he hid there. He hid with the Ziphim, and they went to tell Shaul where he was. And this is what David is lamenting. He says, people give my whereabouts to where the places where I'm hiding. They go and tell Shaul, and therefore nobody's trustworthy. No one is a chassid anymore. No one is a baal emunah anymore. Kifas emunim. They all give me up. They all hand me over. Yeah. The Metzudas David learns that it means that there's no one that no one has stopped Shaul from chasing me.
In fact, that was a bit of an indictment against Avner. We'll come to this medrash later, that Avner could have stopped Shaul from wiping out the city of Nod, and he didn't. So that was considered an indictment against Avner. So that's how sort of David learns that, that people...
You say by informing, informers.
Informers, that's informers. Right. That's how informers...
And complaining about them.
Yeah, David is complaining about them. They're not trustworthy, and they give my whereabouts to Shaul. Yeah. That's the idea. The Gomar Chosid and Fasa Munim. The Sephorno learns on this pasuk. Ki Gomar Chosid is a reference to time in the future, particularly the times of the Chum Beit HaMikdash, both the first and the second. Maybe, not sure if this is what he meant, maybe the double expression Ki Gomar Chosid and Ki Fasa Munim is a double expression relating to both Chum Beit Sushan and Chum Beit Sheni. Now, Dr. Shpid, do you want to stop? There's a Medrash Shechetov on this pasuk which speaks about Andrinus, that's the Hadrian, I think it's Hadrian, and the Medrash Shechetov does not have kind words, it refers to him as Andrinus Shachik Tamio, which means may his bones be ground into dust. Now, he asked the question, what zechus do Klal Yisrael have? How come their God looks after them so well? And people, his advisors, answered him, you know why? Because among Klal Yisrael, there are Hasidim and Tzaddikim, and there are people who learn Torah with tremendous energy. So he said, oh, if that's what it is, if that's what is their secret, and looks, that's how Kosh Baruch looks after them, I'm going to make a gezeirah against people learning Torah. And he made this gezeirah. David, in this chapter, and other people did indeed stop learning Torah, or at least reduce their commitment to Torah learning. David recites this chapter, Hoshia Hashem, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sevach, because there's going to be a time in history, Ki Gomar Chosid and Ki Fasa Emunim Ibnei Odom, where people reduce their commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah learning, and therefore David prays on their behalf, preempts the period in history and prays on their behalf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look after Klal Yisrael at that time. Now, then the Medrash Shechetov brings another story, an amazing story which I don't fully understand, and that is of a Roman matriarch who lost a very valuable purse which contained a fortune. It seems that the purse itself was valuable, and of course contained a fortune. It was Meleo Dinrim, it had many, many dinrim. It was a well stocked purse. And a particular chosid, a Jewish chosid, found it, a pious man found it, and he did our shasavid, and he returned it to her. And her advisors turned to her and said, well, what do you expect? He's a pious Jew. He probably doesn't even know what he returned to you. If he would have realized the value of it, there's no way he would have returned it to you. She wasn't having any of that. She said, no, this man is a great man, and there's no way he could have mistaken this for something else. You know, and she says, the purse itself is coated with gold. So he must have realized it was a valuable item, and nevertheless he gave it to me, and therefore he's a great man. And she rewarded him and said, or she gave him a bracha, and she said, Tehei umoscha musura loch. May your nation be handed over to you. Which seems to be an appointment of a position of authority. She was appointing him as some, you should be a superior person, you should have some authority. Exactly, something like that. So you should be a man of authority among your nation. Yeah. Now this bit I don't fully understand. Her advisors turned to her and said, he's done you this big favour and you're giving him a curse. Yeah? He's done you a big favour in returning your valuable purse. How come you're cursing him now? It seems that they viewed the position of authority as a curse. At any rate, she said, no. She said, you must know he's a great man, and if there would be any other person among the Jews as good as he is, in other words, if there'd be two of his kind, we wouldn't stand a chance. You know, we Romans, we stand a chance in controlling the Jews, because there's only one like him. If there'd be any one other like him, they would conquer us. We wouldn't stand a chance. And she then gave him permission to be as the magistrate, nichnas v'yatsa b'li rishus. He could be in and out of her court without an appointment, without visit, without permission. He could just walk in at any time. She gave him carte blanche in her own court.
in her own court. And while he was here, so he had a position of authority in her court as well. Now, in that position of authority, he spotted a number of people in her chevra who were not behaving as they should have been. It just seems they were idle people, and it seems that he removed them from their position. Now, when he died, the people commented on him this pasuk: Hoshia Hashem ki goma chosid. He had such a shame too. He had such a good name that when he died, people said, "Oh, you know, we've lost the great chosid. We've lost this baal and munah. He seems to have made a tremendous kiddush Hashem." Yeah, and people said once he died that now we've lost good people from this world. And on that, Rabbi Pinchas replied. He said, "Yeah, gama mibnei adam." It's true. The prophet says, "Kifasa minim mibnei adam." We've lost him from the human race. But he's gone to join the world of Malachim. Yeah? Such people still exist in the world of Malachim. The Bnei Adam have lost such a good person, but when such a good person departs from Olam Hazeh, you can be sure he joins the world of Malachim. Similarly, another time in history when this pasuk was quoted was when Moshe Rabbeinu died and Yehoshua, his Talmud, went to look for him and of course couldn't find him, he died. And he recited this, but the Medrash Rabbah in Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Os Yud, comments on this, that that's when Yehoshua recited this pasuk. He said, Hoshea Hashem ki goma chosid, the chosid, the Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, ki fasu minu ben yodam, we've lost this great Moshe Rabbeinu, and now we are bereft of such a great man. Another time when this pasuk is quoted, and that's in Sotah, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud Beis, where the pasuk speaks, it says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a number of things happened. Bota HaShamir, the worm that Shlomo HaMelech used to cut the stones, the Shamir worm was finished. The Nofes Tzufim seems to be a fabulous tasting honey. The world lost this phenomenal honey. It seems to be, it looked good and tasted amazing. And some say it came from flowers grown in Tzfas. No, it's Tzufir, it's Tzfas.
Well, first to in the davening in the morning.
Yes, Nachamadim is davening in Pazor. Mesukim is fast, no fest Tzufir. Which means the Torah is even sweeter than this honey.
Shabbos morning.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, Mesukim is different, that's right, yeah. Yeah, no fest Tzufir. But it seems that once the Mesukim was lost, we lost these things. And Ufosku Anshe Amona, people of faith or people of that. I'll just get through that last section again. I'm going to take. Okay, Mishnah in Sotah Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud Beis. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Botal HaShomei V'notes Tzufim, this wonderful honey was lost. V'fosku Anshei Amona, and people of reliability and Emunah are lost. She'er Ne'emar Hoshia Hashem Ki Goma Chosid Ki Fase Emunim Mibnei Otom. So that's the once Beis HaMikdash was lost, we lost these wonderful people. And I'll just close with one other thing, and that's a point brought by the Malbim, who points out that Chosid is in the singular and Emunim is in the plural. Why is that? So he says, well, emunim are people who keep to the strict letter of the law. They are bale emunah, the kosher person who says X, Y, Z, and that's what they keep, X, Y, Z. Whereas a chosid keeps even more than that. A chosid keeps lifnim mishur sadim. So he says it's natural that there are more emunim in the world than there are chasidim in the world, because a chosid is even better than the emunim. And therefore he says emunim is in the plural, because there are more of them, while the chosid is in the singular, because there are fewer of them. Likewise, he says that if there are no emunim, kifasu emunim, once we lose people who are considered emunim and keep to the strict letter of the law, then of course, kal vachomer, there are no chasidim left either, because the chosid is even more. Yeah, then keeps lifnim mishur sadim. Even more than the Torah demands. Okay, and that's it for Pasuk Beis. So should we close there? Sorry, it was longer than
before. No, that's okay.
You continue next Sunday?
Yes, the Mitzvah Hashem continue next Sunday, yes.
Please go to the building.